Thank you for being an incredible supporter of the 10X Podcast Group, the home of the skillful art of manipulation. We're thrilled to have you as part of our growing community. If you haven't already, we'd love for you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Your likes and comments mean the world to us and help us reach a wider audience with our stories. Plus, with new episodes released every day, your feedback plays a vital role in shaping what we create. It truly makes a difference. Your loyalty and enthusiasm fuel our passion for crafting gripping tales, and we're so grateful for your support. Today, we're excited to present The Human Canvas, a story that promises to keep you on the edge of your seat. Let's dive into this thrilling narrative together. Chapter 1, Skin Deep Scams. Some people see tattoos as self-expression, permanent art inked into flesh to tell a story, honor a memory, or represent a phase of their life. Me? I see them as lawsuits waiting to happen. Walking, talking lawsuits worth thousands, sometimes millions, if played right. You wouldn't believe how easy it is to twist the system, how quickly a skilled lawyer can turn something as personal as a tattoo into a financial noose around an artist's neck. See, the game is simple. I let the best tattoo artists in the world work on me. I never sign a release, never give permission for their work to be used commercially. Then, the moment they post a picture of their masterpiece on Instagram, flaunt it in some magazine, or enter it into a competition, my lawyer hits them with the cease and desist. Copyright infringement. Legal threats. The works. Some of them get smart and try to fight, but most? Most settle out of court, just to avoid the legal hell. I've made a fortune off my skin. I'm a human gallery, a collector of fine art, but not for the admiration. I collect for leverage. For lawsuits. For paydays. And it worked, every single time, until now. Until greed led me down a path I never should have taken. This time, I wasn't hunting lawsuits. I was chasing something bigger, something rare. I wanted a piece inked onto my flesh that no one else had. Something that couldn't be replicated, couldn't be copied. A true masterpiece. That's what led me to Mexico City, to an underground legend named Raul Mendoza. Raul was different. Not just another hotshot artist with an ego bigger than his skill set. He was a ghost, an enigma. No social media. No flashy portfolio. Just whispers. Rumors. If you wanted to be inked by him, you didn't walk into a shop off the street and ask. You needed connections, people willing to vouch for you, a name worth his time. And I had one. A friend of a friend, someone I'd cut in on one of my previous lawsuits, made the introduction. It took weeks, but finally, I was led down a narrow alleyway in La Merced, deep into the heart of the city, to a dimly lit studio that smelled of antiseptic, ink, and burning cigarettes. Raul sat in the corner, arms crossed, watching me with sharp, tired eyes. He looked like he hadn't slept in a decade, his face lined with stories he'd never tell. A single tattoo curled up his neck, black and jagged, like a scar he'd carved into himself. "I don't do repeats," he said, exhaling smoke. "You get one design. One chance." "I don't want repeats," I replied. "I want something priceless." His eyes flicked over me, assessing. He was considering it. Testing me. "You don't pick the design," he said finally. "I do." I grinned. "Even better." And just like that, the deal was sealed. The pain was nothing new. I'd been under the needle for hours at a time before, but this was different. Raul worked slow, methodical, his machine buzzing against my skin like a wasp digging into raw flesh. I barely saw what he was doing. He had me on my stomach, my face pressed into a thin pillow, sweat pooling at my temples. Every once in a while, he'd mutter something under his breath. Words I didn't understand. Spells, prayers, maybe just cursing at how long it was taking. I lost track of time. By the time he was done, my back was a web of burning nerves, each line still stinging, the ink fresh and glistening under the studio lights. I stood, stretching carefully, my muscles stiff. Raul handed me a small mirror, motioning toward the full-length one in the corner. "See for yourself." I turned, angling the mirror to catch my reflection, and I felt my stomach drop. It wasn't what I expected. No skulls, no angels, no elaborate designs of gods or demons. It was intricate, complicated. A series of interlocking lines and symbols, delicate yet sharp, weaving across my spine like a hidden language. At first, it looked abstract. Random. But the longer I stared, the more I saw patterns. Numbers. Shapes that could have been roads, markers, coordinates. "This?" I swallowed, running a hand down my still-burning skin. "What is this?" Raul didn't answer. He just stared at me, exhaling a slow stream of smoke. "You wanted something priceless," he said. I frowned. "Yeah, but it's priceless," he repeated. His voice was flat, firm. "Don't ever let anyone else see it." Something about the way he said it sent a shiver down my spine, but I was too high on adrenaline, too wrapped up in my own arrogance to listen. I should have asked more questions. Should have pressed him on what the hell I had just let him carve into my flesh. But I didn't. Instead, I did what I always did. I left. I took a picture. And I posted it online. A blurred out teaser shot, just enough to bait the right people. A day passed. Then two. No one took the bait. Then, on the third day, everything changed. I was sitting in my hotel room, scrolling through messages when I heard the knock at my door. A single, sharp rap against the wood. I glanced at the time. 11:47 p.m. Something about it felt off. Too late for room service. Too precise for a drunk tourist knocking on the wrong door. I stood slowly, crossing the room, my heartbeat just a little faster than usual. Another knock. I reached for the peephole. And stopped. A shadow stood outside. Broad-shouldered. Still. Not shifting. Not restless like someone waiting. Just standing there. Watching. I swallowed. Cleared my throat. Yeah. No response. I hesitated, then cracked the door just an inch. The man outside was dressed in dark clothes, his face partially hidden under the dim hallway light. But what I could see, the cold, empty look in his eyes, made my stomach clench. He lifted his phone, showed me the screen, a high-resolution image of my tattoo. And then, in a voice like steel grinding against stone, he said, "You shouldn't have posted this." The door burst inward. Chapter 2, Blood on the Blueprint. The door exploded inward, slamming me backward before I could react. The force knocked me off my feet, sending me sprawling onto the hotel floor, my head cracking against the nightstand. Pain burst through my skull, my vision swimming. I barely had time to register the shape of the man stepping inside before his boot pressed against my chest, pinning me down like a bug under glass. "Don't fight," he said, his voice smooth, calm, too calm. He wasn't some junkie kicking down doors for cash. This guy was a professional. Controlled. Calculated. But I didn't get where I was by playing the victim. I twisted, shoving my knee up, trying to roll out from under him. His response was instant. A fist, sharp and brutal, connected with my ribs, knocking the wind clean out of me. "Stay down," he growled. I coughed, gasping, my ribs throbbing. I had no choice. I stayed down. The man crouched beside me, his hand still gripping his phone, the screen still glowing with the image of my tattoo. He stared at me like I was an insect under a magnifying glass. "You made a mistake," he said, tilting the screen toward me, tapping the image with his free hand. "Where did you get this?" I swallowed hard, keeping my face blank. "It's just a tattoo." The man's expression didn't change. He wasn't buying it. "You don't know what you have, do you?" He exhaled slowly, shaking his head. "That was a stupid move, putting it online." I forced myself to keep my breathing steady, even though adrenaline was pounding through my veins. "You want to tell me what the fuck this is about?" He didn't answer right away. He was studying me, measuring me. I could almost hear the gears turning in his head. Finally, he leaned in, close enough that I could smell the faint scent of cigarette smoke and something metallic, like gun oil. "This is not just a tattoo," he said. "It's a fucking blueprint." I frowned, my mind scrambling. "A blueprint? For what?" He tapped the screen again. "You see these lines? These aren't just patterns. They're roads. Coordinates. Entry points. And these numbers." His finger traced along the design on the screen. "They're access codes." I felt a chill crawl up my spine. "What kind of access codes?" I asked, my voice hoarse. The man gave me a thin, humorless smile. "The kind that unlock a very expensive vault. A vault that doesn't belong to you." Fuck. The weight of what he was saying settled in my chest like a lead brick. I had been playing a game. A game of lawsuits, scams, and easy money. But this? This wasn't my game anymore. I had stepped onto a chessboard where the pieces weren't just ink and paper. They were blood and bullets. And I was the pawn. I forced a laugh, even though my pulse was hammering. "You're joking, right? You really think some tattoo artist just decided to ink a goddamn treasure map on my back for fun?" The man didn't laugh. "No. I think Raul knew exactly what he was doing." "Raul." The name hit me like a gut punch. He set me up. I gritted my teeth. "So what now? You kill me? Cut the skin off my back. Drag me to whoever the fuck owns this vault." The man didn't answer. Instead, he pulled a gun from inside his jacket. A sleek, black pistol. Silencer already attached. Cold fear clenched in my gut. "Get up," he said. I hesitated. "Now." I pushed myself to my feet slowly, my ribs still aching. He grabbed my arm, twisting it behind my back as he shoved me toward the door. "Where are we going?" I grunted, trying to sound annoyed instead of terrified. "You're going to take a little trip," he said, leading me down the hotel hallway. "And you're going to tell us everything you know." I didn't have to ask who us was. I already knew. 30 minutes later. The black SUV smelled like leather and stale air. My wrists were zip-tied behind my back, my ankles bound too tight. We had been driving for what felt like forever, winding through dark streets, the city lights growing sparser with every turn. The man in the front seat, my kidnapper, wasn't alone anymore. Another guy had joined him when we left the hotel. This one was stockier, his arms thick with old gang tattoos. He hadn't spoken a word since I got in the car, just sat there, watching me in the rearview mirror like I was a fucking puzzle he was trying to solve. I needed to think. Fast. If this tattoo really was a map to some vault, that meant one thing, I had leverage. They needed me alive. I shifted slightly, testing the zip ties. Too tight. No way to slip free. "Where are we going?" I asked, keeping my tone casual. No answer. I clenched my jaw. "You guys gonna kill me? Or are we just going for a scenic drive?" The driver, my original kidnapper, chuckled. "That depends on you." "On what?" He glanced at me in the mirror. "On whether you're useful or not." I smirked, trying to mask my unease. "Oh, I'm very useful. You just don't know it yet." The man in the passenger seat, stocky, finally spoke. "Keep talking, smartass, and we'll see how useful your skin is once we peel it off." I shut up. For now. The warehouse. The SUV finally came to a stop outside a nondescript building on the outskirts of the city. It looked abandoned, paint peeling off the concrete walls, the metal doors rusted at the edges. They hauled me out, dragging me inside. My boots scraped against the dirty floor as I was forced into a metal chair in the center of the room. A single light bulb hung above me, casting harsh shadows across the space. And then he walked in. Older. Scarred. Dressed in a tailored suit, but the kind of man who had probably killed more people than he had time to count. He moved slow, deliberate, the weight of authority clinging to him like a second skin. The others straightened as he approached. I knew immediately, this was the man in charge. He stopped in front of me, rolling a cigar between his fingers. "You know why you're here?" he asked. I exhaled through my nose, keeping my expression neutral. "I'm guessing it's not because you want to admire my tattoos." A ghost of a smile flickered across his lips. "No, but we do want what's on your back." I feigned confusion. "You mean my ink?" The man's smile vanished. "Don't be cute. You know what you have. You know what it leads to." I kept my mouth shut. He crouched slightly, leveling his gaze with mine. "You have two options," he said, voice low and calm. "Tell me who else has seen it, or we start peeling the answers off of you." A blade appeared in his hand. My pulse spiked. This was it. The moment that determined whether I lived or died. I took a slow breath, then leaned forward, my voice steady. "You can cut me all you want," I said. But the artist encoded the combination. I saw the flicker of hesitation in his eyes. I pressed harder. "Kill me, and the vault dies with me." A long silence stretched between us. Then he exhaled, tapping his cigar against the ashtray. "Interesting," he murmured. I had their attention. Now all I had to do was survive long enough to use it. Chapter 3, The Mark of Death. I could feel the weight of their stares pressing into me, the silence thick enough to choke on. The scarred man in front of me, the one who clearly ran this operation, tapped his cigar against the rusted metal ashtray, his expression unreadable. I had played my card, and now I was waiting to see if it would keep me alive or just prolong my death. The artist encoded the combination. A bluff. A desperate, last-ditch effort to buy time, but these men weren't stupid. If I wasn't careful, they'd call it. And if they did, my skin wouldn't stay attached to my body much longer. The man with the cigar, Arturo, I guessed from the way the others deferred to him, leaned back in his chair, studying me. "Interesting," he repeated, his tone casual, almost amused. "The artist encoded the combination? That's what you're telling me." I nodded, keeping my face blank. "You expect me to believe that Raul Mendoza, who never repeated designs, never worked for anyone but himself, decided to put something as valuable as a vault combination into a tattoo and then just hand it over to you. I shrugged. I paid him. Maybe he wanted to fuck someone over. Maybe he was playing a game. Maybe he was just high and thought it was funny. I don't know. But I do know this. If you kill me, whatever's in that vault is lost forever. Arturo chuckled, taking a slow drag from his cigar. You're either very brave or very stupid, my friend. Both, I admitted. He exhaled a cloud of smoke, his eyes never leaving mine. So let's say I believe you. Let's say Raul really did encode the combination into your skin. That means you don't actually know what the combination is, do you? I clenched my jaw. Not yet. Arturo nodded, like he expected that answer. He flicked the cigar ash onto the concrete floor, then gestured toward one of his men, a broad-shouldered bastard with a scar running down his cheek. Carlos, get the blade. My stomach tightened. Carlos smirked, stepping toward a metal toolbox in the corner. The sound of it unlatching echoed through the warehouse like a gunshot. A moment later, he pulled out a gleaming razor, long and thin. Wait, I said, forcing my voice to stay calm. You just said you might believe me. I do, Arturo said. But belief and trust? Two different things. I believe you think the combination is in your skin. But if you don't actually know it, you're not as valuable as you claim to be. He nodded toward Carlos. Carlos grabbed my wrist, gripping it tight. We'll start small. Just a few inches. My pulse slammed against my ribs. I had to think fast. Raul has the key, I blurted. He has the blueprint to decode it. Without him, it's useless. Carlos paused, the razor just inches from my arm. Arturo raised an eyebrow. Now that is interesting. I pressed forward, pushing my advantage. Raul gave me the map, but he didn't tell me how to read it. I was supposed to go back to him. Arturo tapped his cigar again, then nodded toward Carlos. Stop. Carlos let go of my wrist, looking disappointed. Arturo exhaled another slow stream of smoke. Where is he? I don't know, I admitted. But I know where to start looking. Arturo was silent for a long moment, then finally stood. Then we'll take a trip, my friend. I forced a smirk. Glad we're working together now. He smiled back. Oh, we're not together. You're just useful. I didn't argue. Because for now, that was enough. The search for Raul. They didn't take me back to my hotel. They didn't let me go. Instead, they kept me locked in the warehouse overnight, my wrists bound to a chair, a single dim light flickering above me. No food. No water. No bathroom. By the time morning came, my muscles were stiff, my throat dry. Arturo's men finally cut me loose and shoved me into the back of the SUV, my body aching from head to toe. The drive was long. Raul's shop wasn't in the kind of place you'd find on a tourist map. It was deep in the heart of La Merced, in an alleyway where even the police didn't bother going. When we pulled up outside, I could already tell something was wrong. The front door was open. Not just open, kicked in. Arturo's men tensed, their hands drifting toward their weapons. I swallowed hard. This isn't good. No one responded. They pulled me out of the car and shoved me toward the entrance. Inside, the shop was a mess. Ink bottles shattered. Furniture overturned. Blood smeared across the floor. Carlos muttered something under his breath. Arturo stepped forward, his expression unreadable. Looks like someone else wanted to find Raul before we did. I crouched near the bloodstain, pressing two fingers to it. Still fresh. He was here recently, I murmured. Maybe even last night. Arturo's gaze flicked toward one of his men. Find out who else was looking for him. The guy nodded, pulling out his phone and stepping outside. Arturo turned back to me. You said you were supposed to meet him again. Any idea where he would have gone? I hesitated. Raul had been paranoid as fuck. He didn't trust anyone, barely even let people into his shop. If he thought someone was after him, he would have run. But where? Then I remembered something. A conversation we had before he started the tattoo. If shit ever goes sideways, Raul had said, there's a place in Tlatelolco. Old studio. No one knows about it anymore. If I disappear, I'll be there. I took a slow breath, considering my options. I could tell Arturo. Let him there. But if I did, Raul was as good as dead. And I wasn't sure I wanted that. Arturo must have seen the hesitation in my face. He stepped closer, his voice soft, almost fatherly. You want to live, yes? I clenched my jaw. Then tell me where he is. I glanced at the bloodstain on the floor. Whoever had attacked Raul's shop wasn't working alone. That meant he was running from more than just Arturo, which meant I had a much bigger problem. I exhaled slowly. Yeah, I said finally. I think I know where he went. Arturo's smile returned. Good. He turned to his men. Load up. We're going hunting. The setup. The ride to Tlatelolco was tense. I could feel the weight of the gun in Carlos's lap, the way the others kept glancing at me like I might try something. I kept my face blank, my breathing steady, but inside, I was scrambling for a plan. Because if I led them to Raúl, one of us wasn't walking out alive, and I had to make sure it wasn't me. As the SUV pulled into the outskirts of Tlatelolco, my mind raced through every possible way this could go. Then, finally, I made my decision. I was going to double-cross the mall and take the vault for myself. Chapter 4, A Deal with the Devil. The SUV rumbled through the streets of Tlatelolco, the tension inside thick enough to strangle. Arturo sat in the front, his cigar still rolling between his fingers, eyes scanning the road ahead like a predator on the hunt. Carlos sat beside me, his grip tight on the pistol resting in his lap, his trigger finger tapping the metal in a slow, methodical rhythm. They didn't trust me. Good. Because I sure as hell didn't trust them either. The location I had given them, Raúl's hidden studio, was a gamble. Either Raúl was still there, waiting for me, or he was already dead. Either way, I needed to control the next few moves if I had any hope of getting out of this alive. I shifted slightly, testing the strength of the zip tie still biting into my wrists. Too tight. I wasn't breaking out of it. Not yet, anyway. Carlos noticed. He smirked. Getting uncomfortable? I forced a smirk of my own. Nah, I love road trips with armed men who want to skin me alive. Carlos chuckled, shaking his head. You got jokes, gringo. We'll see if you're still laughing in an hour. I didn't respond. Just stared out the window, watching the buildings blur past, the neon glow of old streetlights casting twisted shadows across the cracked pavement. Then, finally, we arrived. The SUV slowed to a crawl as we turned onto a side street, the tires crunching over gravel. Raúl's hideout was tucked between two abandoned buildings, barely noticeable from the outside. A metal roll-up door covered the entrance, rusted at the edges, a single padlock hanging from the handle. But something was off. The lock was broken. I stiffened, my heartbeat picking up. Someone had already been here. Arturo must have noticed the way I tensed because he turned to me, his voice dangerously low. Something wrong. I shook my head, forcing myself to stay calm. I don't know. He was supposed to be careful. If that lock's broken, it means either he ran, or someone else got to him first. Carlos muttered a curse under his breath. Arturo nodded to one of his men. Check it. The guy climbed out of the SUV, gun raised, moving toward the entrance with careful, practiced steps. He tested the handle, then pushed the door open slowly, revealing nothing but darkness inside. Arturo nodded toward Carlos. Take him inside. Carlos grinned, gripping my arm and dragging me out of the vehicle. My feet hit the ground, my stomach twisting. This was it. If Raúl was dead, I had no more leverage. And if he wasn't, then I had to make sure I wasn't the one who ended up in the ground. Carlos shoved me forward. Walk. I stepped inside, my eyes adjusting to the dim light. The air was thick with the scent of ink, burnt paper, and something else, something metallic. Blood. Raúl was here. Or at least he had been. I scanned the room quickly, searching for any sign of movement. The walls were lined with shelves, ink bottles scattered across the floor. A single chair sat in the center of the room, overturned, a smear of blood leading toward the back. Carlos followed my gaze. Looks like someone got to him first. I swallowed hard. Or he got away. Arturo stepped inside, his expression calm, unreadable. He moved to the center of the room, crouching down near the blood smear, running his fingers through it. He rubbed them together, testing the texture. Still fresh, he murmured. I clenched my jaw. That means he's close. Arturo's eyes flicked up to meet mine. Then you better hope we find him first. I exhaled slowly. Yeah, you and me both. The hunt begins. We moved quickly, splitting into groups. Arturo sent two of his men to check the nearby buildings while Carlos and I searched the back of the studio. The further in we went, the worse it got. Papers were shredded across the floor, tattoo sketches torn apart like someone had been looking for something, something they hadn't found. And then I saw it. A message, scrawled onto the wall in dark ink, hastily written in jagged, frantic letters. Muerte sigue el mapa. Death follows the map. A chill ran down my spine. Carlos read it aloud, then snorted. Dramatic bastard. But I wasn't laughing. Raúl had left this message as a warning. He had known someone was coming, which meant he had left something behind. I scanned the room, searching for any clue. And then my eyes landed on the desk. A single notebook, half buried under a pile of torn sketches. I moved before I could think, lunging for it. Carlos grabbed my wrist, yanking me back. "Easy," he said. "What's the rush?" I forced a grin. "What? You don't think I can read Spanish?" Carlos narrowed his eyes but let me go. I flipped the notebook open, my eyes scanning the pages. Most of it was nonsense, old tattoo sketches, ink formulas, but then toward the back I saw it. A single line, written in Raul's messy scrawl. "If you find this, run. The vault is real. The map is real. But they don't know what's inside." I felt my blood turn to ice. Carlos peered over my shoulder. "What's it say?" I hesitated. Then I smiled. "Nothing." I lied, snapping the notebook shut. Carlos frowned. "Bullshit." I exhaled, turning to face him fully. "Look, man. I get it. You don't trust me. But if you kill me before we get to the vault, you might never know how to open it." Carlos studied me for a long moment. Then he grinned. "Fair enough," he said. "But if you try to fuck us over?" He tapped the gun against my ribs. "I'll put one right here." I smirked. "Noted." But inside, my mind was racing. Because Raul had just confirmed what I was beginning to suspect. This wasn't just about money. It was about whatever was inside that vault. And now, I had to make a choice. I could lead them to it. Let them take what they wanted and walk away with my life. Or, I could play this game a little longer. And take the prize for myself. I flexed my fingers, feeling the weight of the zip tie still biting into my wrists. Yeah, I knew exactly what I was going to do. And if I played it right, I'd be the last one left standing. Chapter 5, The Double Cross. The tension inside the SUV was suffocating as we rumbled down the road. The city lights behind us, nothing but open desert ahead. The engine hummed, the tires crunching against gravel, a steady rhythm that only amplified the silence. Arturo sat in the front, his cigar still smoldering between his fingers, his face calm, unreadable. Beside him, Carlos tapped his gun against his knee, his eyes flicking to me every few minutes, like he was expecting me to pull something. He should, because I was. I sat in the back, zip-tied again, my hands resting against my lap like a good little prisoner. But my mind was moving 100 miles an hour, playing out every possible scenario, every possible escape route. I knew what was coming. They were going to use me to open the vault. And then they were going to kill me. Arturo wasn't stupid. He had been doing this for too long. He didn't leave loose ends, and right now, I was a very big, very dangerous loose end. So I had two choices. I could wait, let them drive me to the middle of nowhere, open the vault, and hope I found a way out before they put a bullet in my head. Or, I could make my move first. The problem was, I had no weapons, no real plan, and 3 men in the car with me, all armed to the teeth. Not exactly ideal odds, but I'd been in worse situations. And if I was going to die, I wasn't going to make it easy for them. Carlos smirked at me from the front seat. "What's the matter, gringo? You look nervous." I smirked right back. "Nah, just wondering how the fuck you guys are gonna carry all that money back once I open the vault." Carlos laughed, shaking his head. "You got a big mouth." "Yeah," I said. "And I plan on keeping it." Arturo exhaled a slow stream of smoke. "Let's hope you do then." We drove in silence after that, the night stretching on, the road disappearing into darkness. And then finally we reached it. The vault. The vault in the desert. The SUV rolled to a stop in the middle of nowhere. There was nothing out here, just sand, cracked earth, and a lone structure that looked more like an abandoned bunker than anything else. A single, rusted door sat at the base of a rocky outcrop, partially hidden by the shadows. It looked old, forgotten, but I knew better. This was it. This was what the tattoo on my back led to. Carlos yanked me out of the SUV, shoving me forward. "Move." I staggered slightly but caught myself, glancing at the door ahead. The metal was scratched, dented with age, but the keypad beside it was new. Sleek. Modern. Arturo stepped beside me, his voice calm, almost bored. "Open it." I turned my head slowly, giving him a dry look. "You think I've just got the code memorized?" Arturo smiled. "No. But you have it on you." Carlos pressed his gun against my spine. "So figure it out." I clenched my jaw, turning back to the keypad. I had been stalling as much as I could, but the truth was, I did have a good idea of how to crack this. Raul had been smart. He had hidden the combination in the tattoo, but after hours of staring at it, analyzing it, I had started to see the patterns. The numbers were there. I just had to put them in the right order. I exhaled slowly, closing my eyes for a moment, then began typing. The keypad beeped. Carlos tensed beside me. I pressed the next set of numbers. Another beep. A hiss of air. Then, a deep, mechanical click. The vault door groaned as the locks disengaged, the metal shuddering. Dust kicked up around the edges as the door slid open, revealing a dimly lit passageway leading downward. Carlos let out a low whistle. Holy shit. Even Arturo looked mildly impressed. Looks like you were telling the truth after all. I exhaled slowly, stepping back as they moved forward. Carlos was the first to enter, gun raised, his footsteps echoing against the concrete walls. Arturo followed, his eyes scanning every inch of the place like he was expecting a trap. I hesitated. This was it. My last chance to get the fuck out. I glanced behind me. The SUV was still running, the driver sitting inside, barely paying attention. If I ran now, I had a chance. But then Arturo turned back. You're coming with us, he said. I want you where I can see you. Fuck. I forced a smirk, stepping inside. After you, boss. The door rumbled shut behind us, sealing us inside. And then the real fun began. The treasure and the trap. The passageway led down into a massive underground chamber, lined with old security cameras, most of them long dead. The air was stale, thick with the scent of dust and metal. And then we saw it. The money. Stacks of cash, wrapped in plastic, piled in metal crates. Gold bars, neatly lined in rows. And in the center of it all, a single black case, locked tight, with a symbol I didn't recognize etched into the surface. Carlos let out a low whistle. Jackpot. Arturo didn't smile. Didn't celebrate. He just stared at the black case. Then slowly, he turned to me. You knew about this, he said quietly. I blinked. Knew about what? Arturo took a slow step toward me. This isn't just money, he murmured. This is something bigger. Carlos glanced at him. What the fuck are you talking about? It's cash. It's gold. What else is there? Arturo didn't answer. Instead, he crouched down, running his fingers along the edges of the black case. His expression darkened. Then he stood and shot Carlos in the head. The gunshot echoed through the vault, deafening in the enclosed space. Carlos crumpled instantly, blood splattering across the stacks of cash. I took a step back, my heart slamming against my ribs. What the fuck? Arturo turned his gun on me. I knew you were hiding something, he said. Raul wasn't just some artist. He was involved in something. And you just walked into the middle of it. I swallowed hard, my mind racing. This wasn't about money. This was about what was inside that case. And Arturo wasn't planning on sharing it. I glanced at Carlos's body, his gun lying just inches from his outstretched fingers. One shot. One chance. I took it. Dove for the gun. Felt the cold steel in my hands. And then the world exploded. Gunfire ripped through the vault as I fired, Arturo firing back, bullets tearing through the stacks of cash, the air thick with smoke and dust. I ducked behind a crate, breathing hard, blood pounding in my ears. Arturo was still alive. And now it was a fight to the death. Chapter 6, Skin in the Game. The air inside the vault was thick with the scent of blood, gunpowder, and old money. Smoke curled through the dimly lit chamber, mixing with dust kicked up from the chaos. My heart hammered against my ribs as I pressed my back against a stack of cash, my fingers gripping the gun I'd ripped from Carlos's corpse. Across the room, Arturo moved like a shadow, stepping between crates of gold, his own gun raised, his eyes scanning for me. I could hear the amusement in his voice. I have to admit, gringo, I underestimated you. I wiped sweat from my brow, my muscles tensed, my body still shaking from the adrenaline. Yeah, I get that a lot. He chuckled, the sound low and dangerous. You're good, but you're not good enough. I kept my breathing steady. Arturo wasn't some street thug. He was a seasoned killer, the kind of man who had survived shit most people couldn't even imagine. If I made one mistake, I was dead. But I had one advantage. The tattoo. He still needed me. I had to use that. I shifted slightly, peering around the edge of the crate. Arturo was circling toward the black case, the one he had killed Carlos over. His fingers traced the metal edges, his expression unreadable. Then, he did something unexpected. He set his gun down. Not far. Just a few inches from his hand. But enough. It was a calculated risk. An unspoken message. Let's talk. I exhaled slowly. I didn't trust him. Not for a second. But I didn't have a lot of options. So I took the bait. I stepped out from behind the stack of cash, keeping my gun raised. Arturo smiled. See, that's better. I kept my eyes locked on him. You killed Carlos. He shrugged. He was a liability. He was your man. And so were a lot of others, he said. Until they weren't. The coldness in his voice sent a chill down my spine. I swallowed hard, keeping my gun steady. What's in the case? Arturo's smile widened. Now that is the real question, isn't it? He tapped his fingers against the metal. This vault? The money? The gold? That was never the real prize. This is. I frowned, my mind racing. Then why the fuck did you need me to open the vault? Arturo's eyes gleamed. Because Raul didn't just design the map on your back. He built this place. I stiffened. Build it? I hadn't expected that. Arturo leaned down, gripping the latches on the black case. Raul wasn't just an artist. He was an architect, an engineer, and a fucking thief. He flicked the lock open. The case hissed as it unsealed. Inside, I stared. It wasn't money. It wasn't gold. It was documents. Thick, old, yellowed papers, bound together with faded string. Arturo reached inside, lifting the first page. His eyes scanned the words, his expression unreadable. Then slowly, he let out a soft laugh. Well, 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 he murmured. Looks like we just hit the jackpot. I frowned, my grip tightening on the gun. What the hell is it? Arturo met my gaze. And for the first time, I saw something dangerous in his expression. Something deeper than greed. Satisfaction. This, he said, holding up the document, is the kill list. The kill list. I didn't move. Didn't breathe. The words echoed in my skull, bouncing around, refusing to settle. Kill list. I swallowed. What the fuck does that mean? Arturo smirked, flipping through the pages. It means Raul wasn't just a tattoo artist. He wasn't just an architect. He was a record keeper. He turned the pages toward me. Names. Hundreds of them. Beside each name, dates. Locations. Details. Raul built this vault, Arturo said. But he also built something else. A business. A trade. I shook my head, still trying to process. I don't. Arturo's smirk widened. Assassinations, gringo. Hits. Contract killings. My stomach twisted. This wasn't just a vault for stolen money. This was a ledger. A record of every kill job, every transaction, every client. Arturo flipped to the last page. Then for the first time, his expression changed. The smirk vanished. His jaw clenched. And I saw it. One name. Bold. Clear. Arturo Saldana. Right below it. Marked for termination. Arturo's grip tightened on the paper. He stared. Silent. Then. A gunshot. Loud. But not from me. From above. Arturo's head snapped up. The sound of boots. Voices. Then. A deep, booming voice. Drop your weapons. My breath caught in my throat. Whoever the fuck Raul had been running from. They were here. And they weren't alone. The battle in the vault. Everything exploded at once. Gunfire erupted from the entrance, bullets slamming into the walls, ricocheting off metal crates. Arturo cursed, diving for cover. I hit the ground, rolling behind a stack of cash as dust filled the air. The attackers poured in, men in tactical gear, faces hidden behind masks, their movements sharp and precise. I didn't have time to think. I fired. Three shots. One hit a guy in the leg. He went down, screaming. Another grazed a shoulder. The third missed. Arturo fired beside me, his shots more controlled, precise. Who the fuck are they? I shouted over the chaos. Arturo gritted his teeth. The people who want this ledger erased. Bullets ripped through the stacks of cash, bills fluttering like confetti. I ducked low, my ears ringing. Then, a voice, crackling through a radio. Secure the documents. Kill the rest. My blood ran cold. Arturo heard it too. He turned to me, his face hard. We're getting out of here. I hesitated. I should have let him die. But if Arturo went down, so did I. So I nodded. Then let's go. The escape. We moved fast. Through the gunfire. Through the smoke. Arturo grabbed the ledger, shoving it into a bag. We sprinted toward the back of the vault, toward an emergency exit Raul must have built. I could hear the attackers behind us, shouting, their boots pounding against the floor. Then, the exit. A metal hatch. Arturo yanked it open. We jumped. Fell into darkness. Hit the ground hard. Sand. Desert. I gasped, pain flaring through my ribs. But we were out. Arturo groaned, pushing himself up. We had maybe 30 seconds before they realized where we had gone. I turned to Arturo. What now? He exhaled. Then, for the first time, he smiled. Now, he said. Now we disappear. Chapter 7, The Last Cut. The desert night swallowed us whole. The air was thick with the scent of gunpowder and sweat. The only sounds are ragged breathing and the distant shouts of men still inside the vault. Arturo clutched the leather bag to his chest, the ledger inside like a ticking time bomb. I staggered to my feet, my legs screaming in protest. We had fallen through an old service hatch Raul must have built, landing in an underground drainage tunnel that spilled out into the open desert. The ground beneath us was dry and cracked, stretching endlessly in every direction. There was no cover. No roads. No civilization. Just miles of sand, rock, and death. Arturo wiped the blood from his forehead, his gaze flicking to me. We need to move. I barely nodded, still catching my breath. Behind us, the gunmen were figuring out we had escaped. We had minutes, maybe seconds, before they stormed out, ready to finish what they started. I squinted at the horizon. Nothing but darkness. But I knew what we needed to do. North, I said, my voice hoarse. There's a road 2 miles that way. Maybe more. We stick close to the rocks, keep low, we might make it before they track us. Arturo didn't argue. He just started walking. I followed. Each step burned. Each breath was a struggle. My ribs felt like they had been cracked in the fall, and the adrenaline was wearing off fast. But I pushed forward, because I knew one thing for sure. If we stopped, we were dead. The chase. The desert was a death trap. With no cover, no protection, we were moving targets. And the men from the vault were hunting us. It didn't take long before the first shots rang out. A bullet kicked up dust inches from my foot. Fuck. I cursed, diving behind a rock. Arturo hit the ground beside me, clutching the bag close, his breath coming fast. They're moving too fast. I peeked out. Three figures in the distance, silhouetted against the moonlight. They weren't firing wildly anymore. They were closing the distance, taking their time. Hunting us. We need to split, I said. Arturo's eyes snapped to mine. Are you out of your mind? If we stay together, they'll corner us. If we split, they have to pick a target. Arturo hesitated. He didn't trust me. Smart man. But he didn't have a choice. Fine, he said. You go east, I go north. If you make it to the road. I won't wait, I said. Neither should you. For the first time, Arturo grinned. See you on the other side. Then we ran. I veered east, sprinting toward the jagged cliffs in the distance. My lungs burned. My legs screamed. But I didn't stop. I heard shouts behind me, then gunfire. Not at me. At him. Arturo had drawn their attention. I didn't look back. I just kept running. Betrayal in the dark. I reached the cliffs just as my body gave out. I collapsed behind a boulder, gasping for breath, my chest on fire. I had no idea if Arturo was still alive. But I did know one thing. He had the ledger. And I needed it. Because the second he made it out, the second he found a way to use it, he was going to cut me out. That's who he was. And that meant I had one job left. I had to find him first. I forced myself up, moving along the edge of the cliffs, my eyes scanning the desert. A dark shape moved in the distance, heading toward the road. Arturo. He was alive. And he was getting away. I clenched my jaw, my heart pounding. Then I moved. The final standoff. I caught up to him just as he reached the road. The headlights of a lone car flickered in the distance, a pickup truck, its engine humming in the quiet night. Arturo flagged it down, waving his free hand. The driver slowed. This was it. I stepped out from the shadows, gun raised. Arturo froze. The driver saw the gun and slammed on the brakes, throwing the truck into reverse. He wasn't getting involved. Smart. I took another step forward, keeping the gun steady. Drop the bag. Arturo exhaled, shaking his head. You really want to do this, gringo? You were going to leave me for dead the second you got to safety, I said. So yeah, I really want to do this. Arturo chuckled, shaking his head. You're not as stupid as you look. I kept my finger on the trigger. The bag. Now. Arturo's fingers tightened around the strap. Then. He threw it. Not at me. Behind me. I turned instinctively. And that's when he lunged. The impact sent us both crashing to the ground, my gun knocked from my grip, spinning into the dirt. Arturo's hands closed around my throat, squeezing, his weight pressing down on me. I struggled, my vision blurring, my lungs screaming. I reached for my belt, my knife. I yanked it free and drove it into his side. Arturo's eyes went wide. He let go, staggering back, blood blooming against his shirt. I gasped for air, crawling forward, grabbing the gun. Arturo clutched his side, his breathing ragged. He looked at me and smiled. "You've got balls," he murmured. Then I shot him. Once in the chest. Once in the head. Arturo collapsed. Dead. I stood over him, my breath coming in sharp, uneven gasps. Then I grabbed the bag and walked away. The aftermath. By the time I made it to the highway, the pickup truck was long gone. But I didn't care. I had the ledger. I had everything. And now. Now I disappeared. I didn't go back to the city. Didn't go back to my old life. That life was gone, burned away in blood and sand. I took the ledger, sold it to the highest bidder. Not the cops. Not the government. People with real power. People who knew what it was worth. And me? I walked away rich. But not just rich. Untouchable. Because now, I wasn't just a con man. I was the man who knew all the secrets. The man no one could afford to kill. Some people say the body is a temple. Mine was a fucking treasure map. And now I owned the world.